Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to Psalm 110. This coming Thursday is the 2nd of June. We'll look well past all these young boys here. Some of you, what were you doing 63 years ago? You don't have to shout out loud. Well, 63 years ago, the 2nd of June 1953, that's what was happening. And I'm sure that some of the people here, some, not all, will have a memory of that day. Today, we consider another royal occasion. We come today to a royal psalm, a coronation psalm. There are a number of these psalms in the Psalter, and today, as we look at Psalm 110, we come to indeed a psalm that speaks of a very royal occasion. It was said by Augustine of old concerning this Psalm 110 that it may be small in the number of its words, but it is great in the weight of its message. Now, when we come to Psalm 110, we could go to any of the Psalms, we could go to any of the books of the Bible. And as I was saying to the boys and girls, and this is maybe something that we need to be reminded of again and again, the 66 books of our Bible are not just to be seen as books containing stories that we tell the children at Sunday school. They are that, of course. But they are ultimately one story, one big story about one big person who rules, okay. His name is Jesus. So, like all of Scripture, and this principle indeed is important in interpreting the Bible, the text before us this morning, Psalm 110, it has, if you like, a double purpose and application. First of all, its historic meaning. What did it mean in David's day? What was it saying to the people in David's day when it was written and penned by him? And secondly, the prophetic or the messianic meaning. What's it saying about Christ? And what's it saying to us today? Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. There's at least three folks in those first few words. The Lord said to another Lord, and the person who was writing it said, he's my Lord. So there's at least three people being spoken about. And in this psalm this morning, as we think about it, I just want you to notice these three very simple things, and then we go to the very heart of it. It's speaking about a great king. If you've got your Bible open, just look at this for yourself. It's speaking about one of whom, verse 2 says, the Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. So we don't have to think very hard about this. It's speaking about someone who is ruling and reigning. He is a great king. It's also speaking about somebody who is a great priest. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. So this person who is ruling and reigning, a great king, he's also a great priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he's also a great judge. Three in one. Verse 6. He will judge nations. heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. Now, all scripture points to Jesus. That is an elementary lesson. That is a Sunday school lesson. And we could think about all the great stories in the Bible of Adam, of Moses, of Joshua, of Samson, of Elijah, of Elisha, of Ezekiel, and so we could go on and on and on, and we could know all those stories, but if we didn't realize that all of those stories and all of those people are speaking about one greater than Adam, greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than Joshua, then we wouldn't actually have really seen what it's about. Could it be there's someone here this morning and you're still reading your Bible just as a collection of stories about these people, and you do not see ultimately what it's about? You do not see ultimately the one of whom it is about? Wasn't it Spurgeon who said that just in the same way you can go to any part of England, some little country lane, and if you follow it in the right way, it will lead you to London. And in the same way, every single little road and byway of the Bible, if you follow the right way, it leads you to the metropolis. It leads you to Jesus. It leads you to Christ. And if you are reading your Bible day by day, folks, and you are not asking yourself the elementary question, what is this text saying to me about Jesus and how I live for Jesus? Then you are missing a very elementary point. And it is, of course, the preeminent role of a preacher, of a minister, of a pastor, as it were, to stand at the corner of any of those roads and byways and to say to the people, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you see Jesus? He is the one that you must see every Sunday morning or Sunday evening as you come to worship in this place. If you do not go out seeing Jesus, then at a human level, if the preacher is not at fault, there is something not right. Psalm 110 is about Jesus. And just, I'm not going to dwell on this, but if you just want to study this and do a little bit of background, glance to Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. And if you want to do it now, just for a moment, Mark chapter 12 and verse 35 says this. Listen carefully to this. Mark 12:35. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, how is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, and he quotes Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? And Jesus teaches there that Psalm 110 is speaking about the Lord Jesus, who is that great king who sits on the throne. He is that great high priest who mediates. He is that great judge who comes to judge the nations. So the picture here is being painted of one who will judge the nations, but also one whose people are willing in the day of his power. Look at verse 6. I just want to draw a couple of threads together and then apply it to us. Notice what it says about this great king, this great priest. Verse 6, it says that he will judge the nations. He will judge the nations. Folks, Christians believe that Jesus Christ will judge the nations. We live in a tumultuous world where the nations are in turmoil and the nations are in uproar. And many of the nations have no time for this king. But one day, there is a day coming when Jesus Christ will judge the nations. Now, the majority of people in our nation do not believe that today. They do not believe it. Otherwise, they would not be worshipping the sun at this moment in time or walking around some shopping mall worshipping and thinking about what they're going to buy. They would be in a place of worship like this and they would be worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They do not believe that one day Christ will judge the nations. But the Apostle Paul believed it. And when he stood on the hill on Athens, he said this, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed." Who is that man? That man is Jesus. And he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Another example of the Apostle Paul. You remember that moving story? We're not dwelling on it at any length today. Remember that story of Paul standing before Felix in Acts 24? And it says this in verse 25 that Paul discoursed on righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And folks, it says that Felix did something that some of you have never done. Felix trembled. Felix trembled. As the Apostle Paul spoke the apostolic message of Christ crucified and risen, as the Apostle Paul spoke to this man about the need for the righteousness of God, for the need to be right before God, and that the judgment was coming, Felix trembled. Do you tremble today, folks, before the Word of God? Have you ever trembled before the gospel? Have you ever trembled at the thought, even though countless numbers do not believe it, that one day you will stand before the King, the great high priest, the judge who will judge the nations? And at the very heart of Psalm 110, there is a question that the text brings to us. And the question is this: on that final day, when you stand before this king, priest, this judge, will you stand or will you fall? The psalmist speaks here in verse 5 of those who will be crushed in the day of his wrath. What a dreadful thing. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. But this psalm also speaks, and this is what I want to draw your attention to as we apply this to our hearts. Verse 3, it says, and I like the AV rendering of this, "Your people will be willing in the day of your power." Your people will be willing in the day of your power. And there's a picture here of the Lord extending the scepter. And there's a picture that as that scepter is extended, that there are people who are willing. They are willing to reach out and to touch it. In the day of God's power. And it's a picture, I believe, of the gospel being extended to the nations. And the promise that your people will be willing in the day of your power. No, we can think about this in different ways. As the gospel is proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit, this has happened often, hasn't it? People are made willing. People are awakened. People are brought from their slumber. People are brought to see and to hear the gospel and to repent and to believe the good news. Whether in the past or the present, whether during a time of revival or not, when the Holy Spirit is at work, people are made willing. There is a softening, there is a willingness. Oh, how we long for such days. I was reading recently of such days. It actually was around about this time of the year. It was Pentecost Sunday. It actually happened up in the maiden city in our province, Londonderry. And on that Pentecost Sunday, the first of the services to be held happened to be in the local Methodist church. A sermon was preached on the subject of revival. And it was followed by the words of some young converts who had come over to the maiden city for that day. They had come from County Antrim, the town of Ballymoney. And it says this, and I quote, it said that they had been led to feel great anxiety about their sins, but they had believed in Jesus and they had found peace, and they spoke of the sins that they had abandoned and the internal happiness that they had come to enjoy. The people went home. That evening, a great multitude of people gathered in First Derry Presbyterian Church. Local ministers gathered to preach and to take the service. More young converts were asked to share about how the gospel had touched their hearts. There was praise, there was preaching, there was testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many were awakened. Some were converted. The people went home. Was that the end of it? No. And let me quote the words of one of the local ministers, the Reverend Richard Smith, the minister of First Derry at that time, and he said this, "The people went home, but many were ill at ease. Some told me that they never closed an eye that night, but the visions of their heads troubled them on their beds. They rose and they dragged themselves to their places of work, but God was at work in their heart. Some of them sat in their homes, distressed about their spiritual condition." That evening, a meeting was held in the same building, addressed by a number of the local ministers, we are told, in a calm and impassioned way. But God came. Many, many people were savingly converted to Jesus Christ that night within the walls of First Derry Presbyterian Church, literally on the walls of Derry. You see, it was the day of God's power. The psalmist says, "My people will be willing in the day of my power." I wonder, folks, we've lost something of these things, haven't we? I suspect that many people, if not everyone here, gathered in this building this afternoon, you believe that there is a God. You believe that Jesus Christ came into the world. You even believe that Jesus died on the cross. And probably you believe, yes, they teach that he rose again. But do you really believe that there's a judgment to come? Do you really believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to flee from? Some of you do not believe these things, because if you did, you would be at your place of worship more often. You would be reading the scriptures with more interest. You would be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with more of a passion. But you're not doing that, because you don't really see these things. You don't really believe these things. You're going about your business. But who knows? The call of God may come for some of us over these coming weeks. Will you be ready? And you may be here this morning and you literally slumber your way through another service. And I say to you, wake up! The call of God. The gospel is proclaimed. Is it a day of God's power? Are you willing? Is there a softening in your heart? You've realized I've put this off too long. I've put it off 20 times, 100 times. I've heard the gospel preached in this place. And I keep putting it off. And the psalmist says, your people will be willing in the day of your power. Is there a willingness here this morning in someone's heart that you will be part of that great multitude that will be gathered on that final day when this great king, this great priest, this great judge gathers the nations before him? And for some, it will be a day when they will be crushed before his righteous anger. Awful thought. But for others, it will be a day when by the grace of God they are able to stand, not because of anything in and of themselves, but because they are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The scriptures say this morning, take this home with you. My people will be willing in the day of my power. Are you willing today? Are you willing for the first time in your life to open your heart and to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent of my sin. I repent of my life without you. Come into my life. Come into my life as Savior and Lord, and help me to follow you the rest of my days, how many or how little or how few they may be. Is there a willingness even now, as God speaks, my people will be willing in the day of my power? And as the scepter is offered, and as the gospel is offered this morning freely and wholeheartedly, will you take it? Are you, or are you not, waiting for that day spoken of in Psalm 110, when Christ will judge the nations? Are you ready for that day? Oh, my dear, dear friend, this morning, the thought for any pastor or for any minister that there would be someday on that final day who would not be ready. And you have sat here over many years and you've heard the gospel. And it's not even that you reject it, you just have not received it yourself. The thought that any one of you would be lost in that day would break a pastor's heart. Be ready. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would take your word, that there would be a willingness in all of our hearts to bow before the King and to receive the scepter of the gospel into our lives. We ask this prayer sincerely and simply in Jesus' name. Amen.